Okay, today's daf is Babasha daf Kuflam Test, the very last daf in Perek Yesh Nochlin. So we're up to the Mishnah daf Kuflam et Chesam et Beis at the very bottom of the page. Ha'av Tolei Shemachil L'Kol Misha Yirtza. So what's the case that we're talking about? A father detaching fruit from the ground and feeding to whoever he wants. So the Rashbam fills us in. Ahakosiv Nechasav L'Beno La'achar Mosokai. This is talking about a guy who writes over all of his Nechasim to his child after he dies, meaning for when after he dies, where we said before that that the father's going to be able to retain the rights to the peros so long as he's alive, but the guf hakarka already belongs to the son. So it's going on that case, the akni le gufe me'ayom uperi la'achar misa, that the son is entitled to the guf hakarka from the moment the father gives over those nechasim, but the son is only entitled to the peros li'achar misa. V'hilkach machil ha'av b'chayev peros shetalash l'kol mi sheyirtza. And therefore, since the father, so long as he's alive, is entitled to the peros ha'tzlushin, to the peros of the karka, so he can go and be tolish the peros and feed him to whoever he wants. Aval mashi niach mechubar lekarka b'shas misaso, but that which he left mechubar to the karka when he died. Now here's the chiddush of the Rashbam. Afal pisha omed lithlosh, even though it's mechubar that's ready to be tolish from the karka, hareyu shel beno mekabel matana, that belongs to the son who receives the matana, v'dafka beno, and only if it's a son who receives the matana, avlakosiv nechasav la'acher, afilu mashi niach mechubar lekarka b'shas misaso, harein shel yarshim. But if a person was kosiv nechasav to somebody else, then even that which he leaves over as mechubar lekarka at the time of his death belongs to the yarshim, shedaito shel adam krova etzel beno, yoser me'acher, because we assume a person has more of an affinity toward his children than he does toward other people, and therefore he's more likely to want the nechasim to go to his children than he will want them to go to some other guy who he happened to have been kosev nechasav to. So back in the Mishnah again. So av tolei shumachil kol mishiyirta. This means that a father who has given over his estate to his child but retains the rights to the peros so long as he's alive is allowed to detach peros and give them to whoever he wants. Umashi niach talush harei shel yarshin. But whatever he leaves over talush, he didn't earmark to anybody, so that goes directly to the yarshin. So again, we pointed out, Rashbam had this chiddush, it's actually machlokas rishonim. What's the din if the father leaves over peros that are mechubar lekarka but are omed lihitalish? Does that have a din of mechubar, or does that have a din of talish? So the Rashbam says, if he leaves over mechubar lekarka b'shas misaso, even if it's omed lihitalish, it has a din of mechubar there, and therefore they belong to the mekabel matana. They're considered part of the guf hakarka. So the obvious kasha on the Rashbam, the Tos Yantav asks, is that we have throughout Shas in several places where the Gemara in Baba Kama, Dafnun Tes, and Ksubas Dafnun Aleph, in several places in Shas, we have a concept that kolo omed li'talish kitalish dami, that anything that's omed to be uprooted is considered as if it is uprooted. So why over here do we say something that's omed li'talish, Rashbam is going to say, is considered as if it's fully mechubar? These peros are omed li'talish. So the Shach is metarets, the Shach in Siman Resh and Zayin is metarets, that even though we normally assume peros ha'omid li'talish are considered like tlushim, but over here we're not interested in what objectively these peros are considered. What we're interested in is what did he have in mind. We're interested in an umdana of his das, of the father who was giving. What was his kavana? So mistama, he was miskaving to be makna to his son anything that's mechubar to the karka, even if technically, halachically speaking, it would have a din of talush, because we assume, like we just said, that daito krove til beno, that a person wants what's good for his child, and therefore when he wrote over these nechasim to his son, we assume he wants to include in the nechasim that he's writing over to his son even peros that are omid li talish. That is all, though, within the shita of the Rashbam. The Rash disagrees with this Rashbam. The Rash writes that if the father leaves over peros ha-mechubarim that are omid li talish, since throughout the rest of Shas we always say kala omid li talish is considered like it is talush, so over here as well, it's considered as if it's talish, and it's yinas mil yarshim, you give it to the yarshim, not to this particular son, but you give it to the yarshim like any of the other nechasim that the father might leave, any of the other peros hatzlushim. Frek the Rash, the obvious kasha on himself, that if you're going to say that if it's mechubar and omid li talish, that it's considered like talush, when the Mishnah wants to tell me that it was something belongs to the Yarshin, why does the Mishnah say Umashe hiniach talush hareish al Yarshin? The Mishnah could have said a bigger chiddush. The Mishnah could have said Mashe niach mechuber that's omed li talish hareish al Yarshin. It's an even bigger chiddush than telling me Masha omed li talish is hareish al Yarshin. So the Rush, dealing with that textual difficulty, says that the Tana comes is trying to be mechadish to us that if the father was tolish the peros even before he gives manam, even li tolish, even before it was before they were ripe, before they were ready to be picked, the chiddush of our Mishnah is if he's tolish it at that point prematurely, still it's yinashnu liyarshin. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that you're still going to give it to the Yarshim even if the father picks it off the ground prematurely. And that's why Dafka wants to pick a case of Tulushim, because these were not Omed Litalish. They were never Omed Litalish. They were picked prematurely. The Bach says, wait a second, according to the Rush, though, what's the Gemara's Kasha? Well, let's see the Gemara's Kasha first, and then we'll see what the Bach's problem with the Rush was. Says the Gemara, Talush in mechubar lo. Right, the implication of our Mishnah is very clear that if it's talush, it belongs to the Yarshim, but if it's mechubar, then we would not say the same thing. Then we would not say it belongs to the Yarshim; it would belong to the mekabel matana. Right, anything that's mechubar lekarka is considered as if it is part of the karka itself, and that would go to the child who is the mekabel matana. Aiva tanya shamanasa mechubarin lilokeach. But we have a brisa that assumes that it does not go to the mekabel, because we have a brisa in a little bit of a different case, where a guy is kosev kol nechasav me'ayom lachar misa to his son, and then his son goes and sells those nechasim while his father's alive. And then the father dies, so we assume the lokeach is zoche in the gufa karka that the son owned, because whatever the son only sold what he had a right to sell, and he had the right to sell the gufa karka because that's what he had rightful ownership of. So when the father dies, the son is going to own the guf and the whatever future peros, right, the karka is going to produce. But what if there were peros that were mechuber to the karka at the time of the father's death? Does that lokeach receive those peros? So the brisa says no. The lokech only gets the guf hakarka, but the peros, even that are mechuber to the karka, go to the yorshim. So that's what it means. And then Bryce says shamin esa mechubarin the lokech. What do? We evaluate how much those mechubarin are worth, and the lokech has to reimburse the yorshim for the value of the peros hamechubarim lekarka. But what you see over here is very clear that even peros hamechubarim lekarka are not considered like the karka itself. When the karka is supposed to go to the lokeach, the peros hamechubarim do not go to the lokeach. So why in our Mishnah, when the karka is supposed to go to the son, do the peros hamechubarim, yes, go to the son? Why do they go? Why are they considered like the karka? In this price, it's not considered like the karka. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ula Lokasha, Kan Bibno, Kan Bi Acher. Big difference between when you're giving something to your son and when you're selling something to some random stranger. We assume you give with a tremendous ayin yafe to your children. That if you're giving your nechasim, you're writing over your nechasim to your son, that you want to include the peros hamechubarim lekarka as well. Whereas when you're giving it to somebody else, some random guy, so then there's no hechrech to assume that you want to give over to him the peros hamechubarim as well. Now, based on this kasha of the Gemara, so what did we say? What was the ukimta the Rush had when the Mishnah said that peros atlushim? The Mishnah was talking about peros that you were tolesh when they were unripened, that you prematurely were tolesh. So asks the Bach, according to that, what's the Gemara's kasha from this brisa of shamanas hamuchubarim lokeach? Meaning that which implies that the peros hamuchubarim are given back to the Yarshim. Why don't we just say that over there we're talking about peros that were higyus manam litalish? The reason they go to the Yarshim was because they were umdim litalish. They were ready. They were ready ripened. They were ready at the stage where they should be talish. And that's why. And our Mishnah is speaking about peros mechubarim that were not higyus manam. And that's why it's considered part of the karka. And that's the chiluk between the Brais and the Mishnah. I mean, according to the Rosh, shouldn't that be the simple chiluk that our Mishnah, which assumes assumes that the peiros that are mechubar are considered part of the karka, it's because those peiros are not ready to be picked. But the brisa that assumes it's not part of the karka, it's because those peiros are ready to be picked. So in the Biuri Adaf over here, he quotes from the Chosin Yeshuos, that you have to say the brisa is talking about where the peiros still need the karka. That even the brisa is talking about where the peiros are not omed lihitalish. Because if we're talking about where they don't need the karka, so what does it mean that we do a shuma, shamin asamuchubar in the lokech, that we do a shuma, how much do we think these peiros are worth, and that's how much the lokech is going to reimburse the yarshim? What do you mean a shuma? If they're omed lihitalish, if they're omed lihitalish, pick them and give them. What do you have to do with shuma? Just take them off the trees and give them to the yarshim. So that's the hechrich that the brisa must be talking about, where it's not omid liyitalish quite yet. Okay, new mishnah. Hiniach banim gedolim uketanim. If a man leaves over when he dies, older and younger sons. Neither one can receive what they need at the expense of the other. Meaning, the gedolim, when we say misparnas, and Rashbam says it's levush uksus, gedolim tend to spend more money on clothing, right? They have to dress a little more nicely when they're older, so they spend more money on clothing. Ketanim, what it uses lashon nizonin. Why nizonin? Rashbam writes, Mizonos mamish, right? The ketanim tend to eat a lot more than gedolim. Gedolim learn how to control their appetite, but they spend a lot more money on clothing. So what's the idea that neither one can get what they need at the expense of the other? So Rashbam explains, ulufisha parnasas hagedolim merubin mi parnasas hakatanim, because the clothing spent by the gedolim is more than money spent on clothing for ketanim. Umazon hakatanim. Vitipulan meruba mishal gedolim, and the food that ketanim eat and the amount of money it takes just to take care of them costs more than it would for gedolim. So each one has their own expenses. Neither one can get their full support from the house account, because the other group can say that's not fair. You're taking our money, the ketanim can say you're using all of our money. You buy your clothing. We don't want to buy your Armani suits with our money. No, thank you. And the gedolim could say we don't. You have five snacks a day. How you're always eating so much. We don't want to give you all your food from our money. So rather, what do they do? Cholkin b'shavah. They take the estate. They divide the estate. And once they divide the estate, everyone knows exactly how much money they have in their own personal accounts and spend that money. You spend the money you have in your chelik of the estate. Nasva gedolim, let's say the older ones got married, yisva ketanim. So then if the older ones took money from the estate to get married, the younger ones can take money from the estate to get married as well, the same amount of money. But if the ketanim say we want to have the same kind of wedding that you had, that the gedolim had, then we don't listen to them. Is that a stira minei ubei? The previous line we just said, nasa gedolim, nasa ketanim, that they can say we want to have the same wedding you had. So the Rashbam adds in, the Gemara is going to add it in, but the Mishnah doesn't make sense without saying it now. The Rashbam adds in, v'emar mu ketanim la'achar misa savihen, harei anu nosmat k'moshen satsmat anuchay avinu. That the ketanim say after the father dies, that's where the ketanim come up and they say, wait a second, you got married while our father was alive, and he spent a lot of money on your wedding. You got married at a fancy wedding hall, and there was a good caterer. We want the same kind of wedding. Well, at that point, ain shomel lahem, because circumstances have changed. If the gedolim got married after the father died, so circumstances didn't change. So they knew exactly what the financial status of, you know, what the status of the estate was, and they decided to spend X amount of money on their own wedding, so they owe it to their younger siblings that they should also be able to take that amount of money from the estate to spend on their own weddings. But when it comes to some gedolim who got married when the father was alive, so the father was planning on being productive in business for years to come, and, you know, part of the way people spend is what they expect to earn in the future as well. And then the father dies suddenly, and he didn't have life insurance, and he leaves an estate, and in Nebuch there are some of them that have to be supported. So the financial situation, that changes the financial situation really quickly. So you can't just assume that everything remains the same and that the ketanim could spend whatever they want, whatever the gedolim spend. No, now the family is not as well off. So the ketanim have to be more careful. it might work in the reverse also. Maybe he didn't make so much money, but for whatever reason, he had a $20 million life insurance policy. He was always nervous that he was gonna die young, and sure enough, right? And so maybe the financial situation is much better for the younger children. Whatever. Okay. So anyway. So ein shomlem el mash nasanam aviyem nasan. Whatever the father gave them, he gave them. He niach banos gedolos uketanos. Let's say he leaves over daughters gedolos uketanos and no sons, just daughters. Ein gedolos misparnos osali deketanos. So the older daughters cannot be misparnes through the younger daughters. Velo haketanos nizonos al hagedolos. Same story with the daughters. That the younger daughters who spend more money on food can't have that money come from the house account at the expense of the older daughters. And the older daughters spend more money on clothing, can't have the money that they spend on clothing come from the house account at the expense of the younger daughters. Ela cholkos b'shava, they divide the estate evenly, and good fences make good neighbors. They divide the estate evenly, everyone does their own thing, and that way everything will work out great. Nasu gedolos, yisu ketanos. If the older daughters get married, then the younger daughters get married. V'mamu ketanos harein unosos kedekshon esas matem, ein shomalhen. But the same halacha. If the ketanos say, look, you gedolos got married when our father was alive, and it was the most beautiful wedding, and we want to have that same kind of wedding, say ein shomalhen. We don't listen to them because that was when the father was alive. When the father was alive, there was an expectation of income that no longer exists now that he's dead. And this is one of the stringencies of daughters over sons. Shahabanos nizonos alabanim ve'in nizonos alabanos. That banos can get mizonos from sons, meaning when there are sons, the daughters have the right to demand mizonos. As Rashbam writes on the first wide line, "Dahachi have a tenaik suba." That's part of the tenaik suba. That any female children we have are going to get mizonos from the nechasim. And in fact, that's the first mishnah of the next parak, which we're going to do toward the end of today's daf. That the daughters are entitled to mizonos from the estate, even at the expense of the sons, but the daughters are not entitled to mizonos at the expense of other daughters, right? Ein mizonos min abanos, Rashbam says, haketanos min agadolos. The makom shein yorshos kol nechasim leket tenei ksuba, the mazim b'nei nukvan. The whole part of the ksuba about the b'nei nukvan, about the female children receiving mizonos, is only if the female children are not yorshim. But when the female children themselves are the yorshim, when the daughters themselves are the yorshim, so then they don't receive any special mizonos, they're just the yorshim. Good, so the basic halacha in this Mishnah is that the younger ones can't receive at the expense of the older ones, nor the older ones at the expense of the younger ones. There is a basic machlokas rishonim over here. The Rashba says that the din of our Mishnah is dafka if michu hagadolim al haketanim o haketanim al hagadolim. Someone complained and said, you know what, we don't like that you're spending, the younger ones said, we don't like that you're spending all that money on clothing. They're not maskim that they should be yizonu or misparnesu zemizeh. But bistama, if no one ever said anything, then minastam nizonos misparnas in elu imelu. Then we could assume that they can get parnasa and mizonos from each other, because mistama we assume they're shutvim, and the older daughters understand, or the older sons understand, look, we spend a little more money on clothing, they spend a little more money on food, it's just the way it goes, they understand that very well. So then nizonos misparnas in elu imelu, and everyone is mochel if they don't say anything. The whole hechitimta, the whole case of our Mishnah, is in a case where they happen to have made a machah. But if they don't make a macha, then absolutely they have the right to go ahead and support themselves from the house account. The Ritva, in fact, says that that's the most recommended thing to do, is not to make a macha. The most recommended thing to do for Shalom Bayis is to feel like one unit. They should feel like they're together in this, and that they have, and they're watching out for each other. And that's the best thing to do. That we don't say that if they split the account, everyone minds their own business and their own. That's the best. No, best for each one to feel a sense of responsibility for the other. That is the shita of the Rashba / Ritva. However, the Tosas Rid writes that no, even if no one said anything, no one ever made a macha'a, everyone was shosek, no one ever said, I don't want you getting the parnasa from our father's estate or the mizonos from at our expense, and they were nizonu v'nisparnasu yachad, we don't assume that they're mochel each other. Rather, they could go, each one could be tovel, and they could say, look, we have an accounting, you spent $1,000 on clothing, we only spent $800 on food, so you owe us $100 to even it out. And they can come later with a taina. It doesn't have to be that they made a macha at the beginning that you're not allowed to go and spend this money. That's the fundamental machlokas in the Rishonim, whether this is an ideal or whether our Mishnah is speaking of even a stam case, or it's dafka speaking of a case where an objection was raised in advance. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Rava. If the oldest brother goes and takes money from the account and he buys fancy clothing for himself, so no, what he did is done, and no one could have any tainas on him. Now the why? What's the point? So the Rashbam says that even though we're going to see that an older brother, who is the one that represents the family in all their business dealings, he's the one that's nosiv and nosim minachasim, he's allowed to, and therefore it's important that he wears nice clothing so that he can do well in business, that people could respect him and pay attention to what he has to say. And the Yisomim benefit from that. They benefit from the fact that he dresses nicely. Nevertheless, it's only b'di'eved that he spends the money from the estate on that. But the Achim, and the Achim cannot take the Nechasim Keneged, what he spent on that clothing. But L'chadchila, even though it's for the Tova of the Yisomim, of the whole family, L'chadchila, he shouldn't be Mevazviz, he shouldn't spend so much money, the money of the Yisomim, on the clothing. Even though it's for their benefit, still, you don't spend the money of the Yisomim on the clothing. That's how the Rashbam says. The Rush writes in the name of Rabbeinu Shimon that no, it's mutter even lechadchila. The gadol, look, when you're in business, there are certain business expenses for some financial planners or whatever that go and visit people in their homes to work out. They have to drive fancy cars. It's important that they look like they're successful, and they have to drive. So that's part of the business. If you want to be successful in the business, sometimes you have to do certain things to make yourself appear successful in the business. So the Rush writes, that's a reason lechatchila that he's able to go and buy fancy clothing. He says that's a mevur in the Gemara and Gittin. The Gemara and Gittin says that Rav Nachman allowed Amram Tzava'a, who is an apotropos of Yisomim, to take the Yisomim's money and buy himself fancy clothing so that he'll be able to represent the Yisomim properly and people will respect what he has to say. What's the problem? Problem is our Gemara says, my da'avad avad, which does not make it sound like a l'chachila, makes it sound like a real b'di'evet, that you're not supposed to do it. So he says, that's just to tell me that which our Gemara says, l'shem b'di'evet, that's only to teach me that the other brothers that take clothing from the Nechzei Yisomim, even b'di'evet, they would have to pay back. If it were any of the other brothers who were to take it, other than the Gadol Abayis, other than the oldest brother who represents the family, then even b'di'evet, they would have to pay it back. That's all it's coming to teach me. But certainly for the oldest brother, even as a l'chadchila d'kadin, he's allowed to go ahead and take it. This is one of the special halachos of an oldest brother that you have in Shas. Right? You have a halach of an oldest brother when it comes to Kibbut Av, that l'rabos l'chicha gadol, they have a special chiv of kavod for an oldest brother. You have a chiv of, you have a special din of not necessarily an oldest brother, but by avelis you have a din of a gadol abayis, which might be the father, it might be an oldest brother, sometimes machlok saposkim, whether it could be a mother, right? If you leave a gadol abayis behind, let's say the kavura goes on in Eretz Yisrael, like we just said recently, where a kavura was in Eretz Yisrael, but the mother stayed behind and the children went to do the kvura, so the shiva, the way it was paskened in that case, was that the mother had a din of a gadol abayis, but sometimes if there's no more parents, the oldest brother has a din of a gadol abayis, and therefore everyone's shiva ends when the person who stayed behind's shiva ends, and they start their shiva as soon as they send the mace off on the plane. So even though, like in the case we had here, the shiva started for the children a day or two later, because by the time they got to Eretz Yisrael, but the shiva still ends at the same time as the gadol abayis. So this is the third din of a gadol abayis, that a gadol abayis has the right to spend money on fancy clothing. Okay, It's a question of the Rishonim. Is this only when the brothers were shosek? But if they make a machal, it'll be different. Okay. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter. But doesn't our Mishnah say against this? Doesn't our Mishnah say the gedolim cannot spend money on clothing at the expense of the ketanim? Says the Gemara Masnisim B'Sharcha. Our Mishnah is talking about a guy who's not in battle. He doesn't work. There's no benefit for the yisomim that he's dressed nicely. He doesn't represent the family in any way. He just likes to dress in fine clothing and walk up and down Central Avenue all day. But he doesn't really do anything. So says the Gemara, Sharcha Pshita, then of course he can't spend money on clothing. That's what the Mishnah is telling me. Of course he's not allowed to spend the estate money on nice clothing. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'u detema nichalehu delo ninavel. No, one might have thought that if the guy is going to be walking up and down Central Avenue all day, the brothers at least don't want him to look like a shlump. They want him, he does represent their family in some level. They don't want him to look bad. So I might have thought that they're okay with him spending money on fancy clothing. Kamash Malan, that's not okay. When they represent him and they can stand to make money as a result of his appearance, so fine, then they'll be mochel. But otherwise, they're not going to be so eager to be mochel on that money. Nasu gedolim yisu ketanim. So the Mishnah said, if the older ones get married, the younger ones get married the same amount. My kamar, what's the Mishnah saying? Because then it's soser itself the next line. We pointed this out when we read the Mishnah, where it says that the ketanim cannot go and say, we want the same wedding the older ones had. So Amar Vidachi kamar, this is what it means. Nasu if the older ones got married after the father had died, so the ketanim could get married after the father died the same way, with the same amount of money. But if the older ones got married when the father was alive, and then the ketanim after the father died said, we want the same kind of wedding that you had, then we don't listen to them. Whatever the father gave them, that's what he gave them. They can't go and spend lavishly on a wedding just because their older siblings who got married while the father was alive spent lavishly on their weddings. The Mishnah then went on to discuss when you leave daughters behind, right? So says the Gemara, Shalukhi Avur bar Geneva l'Rava. Avur bar Geneva sent the following Shaila to Rava. Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, teach us our master. Lovsa v'achla v'amda v'nises. Let's say a woman borrows money, she uses the money, and then she goes and she gets married. So ba lokeach havi o yoresh havi. Is the husband considered to be a lokeach in all of her nechasim, or is he considered to be a yoresh in her nechasim? And the nafkamina, the Gemara says explicitly, there are going to be several nafkaminas, but the one we're interested in right off the bat is lokeach havi o milval peh eino gov min alakuchos. If the husband is a lokeach, so the lender cannot be gove, cannot collect the loan from lakuchos, so he can't go and collect it from the husband's estate, from the husband's money. O dilma yoresh havi. Or maybe the husband has a din of a yoresh, umilval peh gov min a yorshin. But the halacha is even a milval peh can be collected from yorshin. So can the lova go and can the malva rather go and collect his money from the husband after the woman gets married? This woman borrowed money before she got married. She never paid it back, and she went and got married. Can you collect from the husband now? Because now all those nechasim go over to the husband. So that's the issue. Is he a lokeach or is he a yoresh? Now it's interesting. When the Gemara set up the case, the Gemara said she was lovsa v'achla. What if she was lovsa not achla? She borrowed $1,000, took $1,000 cash, got married, kept the cash with her, gave it to her husband, said, look, here's $1,000 cash. He still has $1,000 cash, same bills. He's got them in the house. So is that the same suffix? That's actually machlokas rishonim. The Ritva says, that which it says, lav saviachla is lav dafka. Same would be true if the ma'os is kayamos, if the money's still around. If the money's still there, because it would still have a din of nichse malug, and if the baal has a din of a lokeach, the malva would still not be able to collect from it. Why? Why would you say it has a din of nichse malug? It's that money. You can say, look, I recognize those dollar bills. Give them back to me. No, because we have a rule, milva lo tza nitna, that loans are meant to be spent, and you're not supposed to give back. When I lend you money, I don't expect you to give back the same bills that I gave you. Adarab, I'll be pretty upset if you give me back the same bills that I gave you. What did you need these for? Just to stare at them. I lent you money so you can invest, so you can do something, because I thought you needed it. But you just wanted to tie up my money for no reason? That's pretty upsetting. Milvel otzadnitna, so it's not those bills that are owed back to the guy at all. And therefore, it doesn't have regular nifse malug. The Rambam writes that no, that if it's still a dayan kayamim, the Baal has to be machzir to the malva. The Baal has to return that money that's still be'en back to the Malveh. Ah, it doesn't make any sense. It's what about Milvelot Sa'anitna? Yeah, but the Magen Mishnah points out it's our Gemara. The Gemara says Lav Saviachla. The Gemara was Medayik and being careful to say Dafka that it was Lav Saviachla. So it sounds like the Gemara held that it's Dafka Biachla. But if the Ma'us was Be'en, then it certainly would be Mukhsar to the Malva. What about Milvelot Sa'anitna? So it could be that over here there's an Umdana Demuchach that if the Ma'us was still going to be Be'en and that if the money was still going to be intact, that the halva is batal and the money is still berushos the bailim. Maybe there's such an umdana. But anyway, this is the shail of the Gemara. So amalei tanina. So says the Gemara, we already learned this. Nasu gedolos yisukatanos. My lav nasu gedolos libal yisukatanos mibal. Doesn't that imply that if the older ones got married to a husband, the young ones get married and get money from the husbands of the older one to help them get married? So they do collect. So lo, nasu gedolos libal, yisu katanos libal. No, it doesn't mean that. They're not allowed to take money that was already earmarked to the new husbands. They have to take money from the estate in general. So frak the gemara eini vahatani rebchia nasu gedolos libal yisu katanos mibal. But it says explicitly that they can take money from the new husbands. Dilma shani parnasa di islakala. Maybe when it comes to getting married, not shani parnasa, but shani parnasa of getting married. When it comes to getting married, that they can collect from lekuchos, even though meaning even though we said that a milval pek cannot be gover from a lokeach, maybe when it comes to getting married, they can be gover from lokeach because such a thing has a kol, and the whole reason milval pek cannot collect from a lokeach is because the lokeach is an innocent victim; he doesn't know about the shibud because there's no kol. But over here, by a marriage, there's a kol, so that they can collect from the lekuchos. He says, wait a second, we know all about this shaila. Isn't this what Ravin sent in his letter, Mishay Meis Viniach Almana Ubas, someone who dies and he leaves over an almana and a daughter, Almanasa Nizonos Minachasav, the almana gets supported from his nechasim, Nisei Sabas Almanasa Nizonos Minachasav, and even when the daughter gets married, the almana still gets supported from the nechasim, Meisa Abbas, once the daughter dies, Am Rav Yehuda Ben Achosos Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Al Yadai Hayamaisa, what happens when the daughter dies? He says, I had such a case. Va'amra almanaso nizonos min chasav, and we say that the almana still gets support from the nechasim. Sayyam Pishlami Yorishavi, Misham Hachi almanaso nizonos min chasav. If that's considered an extension of the Yerusha, the husband receiving it is considered an extension of the Yerusha, so you understand why the almana gets mizonos, because the almana receives mizonos from Yerusha. Ali Iyam Lokeachavi, but if you consider the husband only Lokeach, and not an extension of the Yerusha, am I nizonos min chasav? Why should the almana get mizonos from those nechasim? She cannot collect. The halacha is that an ein motzi in the mazon isha v'abanos min nechasim mishubadim. Right, the Gemara in Gittin Mem Ches Rashbam quotes for mazon isha v'abanos, we do not collect from nechasim mishubadim. So the almana should not be able to get mizonos from the nechasim if the husband has the din of a lokeach. So Amar Abaye, Ilav the Shalach Ravin, Anan Lo Yadinan, Vatnan. Well, you think without Ravin we wouldn't have known that on our own, that the husband has a din of a Yoresh. So, no, we already learned. Eluhin She'en Chosun B'Yovel. The following things do not revert back to the original owner at Yovel. Habachora, right, the Pishnayim that a Bechor gets doesn't get redivided amongst all the brothers at Yovel. V'hayoresh Es Ishto, and someone who yarshins his wife. So you see, Yerusha Sabal is a Dindar Raisa, and the Rashbam explains, V'lo lokeach avi misha shenises, afil lachar misa lo nafka michlal mekach memkar v'tad b'yovel. If Yerusha Sabal had a din of a lokeach, if when a husband marries a woman, he has a din of a lokeach, then it should go back at Yovel. So you already see from there that a husband has a din of a yoresh and not a din of a lokeach. That's why it doesn't revert back at Yovel. So we don't need your special chiddush to tell me that that a husband has a din of a yoresh. Amr le Rava, so Rava says right back, V'hasha d'shalach miyadinan, is it so clear now, even with this letter that Ravin sent, is it so clear that a husband has a din of a yoresh? I'll show you a conflicting source where we see that a husband has a din of a lokeach. What's the conflicting source? Ham Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, Ba'usha iskinu, Ha'isha shemachar nichse melug v'chaye baila, Umesa, Habal motzi miyad alakuchos. They made a takana in Usha that a woman who sells her nichse melug while her husband is alive, and then she dies, the husband can take it from the lakuchos. What's the point? That only works if the husband is a lokeach. Right? Rashbam adds into the girs over here. If the husband has a din of a lokeach from the moment that he married her, that's why he can take it away from the second lokeach. Why? Because he came first. He's a lokeach rishon. The lokeach rishon avi. But if a husband is only yoresh in his wife's nechasim, why should the husband be able to take it away from the lekuchos? A yoresh can't go to his father's old business dealings and say, "Well, 20 years ago, my father sold a piece of property. I want it." And go take it from the lokeach. Yorish can't take away from the lokeach. Lokeach Rishon could take away from lokeach Sheni. But if the husband is only Yorish, he can't go back and say, "Oh, my wife sold this, but I'm not happy that she sold it. I want it instead." You can't do that. So Frekta Tosa Rush, why not? Why don't we say that he's a Yorish, but he's a Yorish from the moment of the marriage? Don't say he's a Yorish from the moment of his wife's death. Say he's a Yorish from the moment of the marriage, in which case he Yarshin, his wife had no right to sell it. So says Tosa Rush, no, you sowed Gadol. That a man can't, no one can be Yorish anybody else b'chayim. That at the time of the marriage, everyone was alive. There's no Yerusha b'chayim. If he's Yorish, by din, it has to be Lachar Misa. If he's a Lokeach, that could have been b'chayim. That could have been from the moment of the marriage, and therefore he's a Lokeach Rishon. But if he's Yorish, that only applies Lachar Misa. But bottom line is, you see, the husband has a din of a Lokeach. Alam Ravashi, Bal Shavir Rabbanik, Yorish Shavir Rabbanik Lokeach. Ravashi says, no, the approach is as follows. A husband sometimes treated like a Yorish, sometimes treated like a Lokeach. Ve'echad etavalei avdalei. We always do what's best. Gabe Yovel Shavir Rabbanik Yorish, Mishum Seda Didei. When it comes to Yovel, we treat him like a Yorish so that he can keep the property. Otherwise, he would lose that property, so that's good for him. Gabe Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, by the case of Rabbi Chanina that we just spoke about, the woman who sold the Nechse Melug, Shavir Rabbanik Lokeach, Mishum Seda Didei. We treat him like a lokeach so that he can get back that property that his wife sold. Gabe de Ravin, Mishum Seda de Almana, Shavir Abban Kiyoresh. When it comes to Ravin's case of the Almana receiving Mizonos, so in order to save the Almana from losing out on the Mizonos, we treat him like a Yoresh so that the Almana can be supported. Frak the Gemara, but is that really everyone's best interest in every case? Vagabe de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, in the case of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, where the woman sold the Nechse Melug, granted, the husband's going to win, the kuchos are going to lose by making him a lekech. Why do we make him a lekech at the expense of the lekuchos? Answers the Gemara, Hasam inu afsidu anafshayu. Now the lekuchos made themselves lose. Kivin dika ba loi baylu lemizba meitza diyasva tuse gavra. You don't buy nichse meluk from a married woman. You know there's a husband in the picture. You know he's interested in the money. You don't go and buy nichse meluk from a married woman. By doing so, you cost yourself the money. You deserve what you get. Hadron alach yesh nochlin. Bez Hashem, tomorrow we will start the 9th parak of Masechta Baba Basra.